We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? Welcome in. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns, episode 114 of the podcast. And you know what? Let's quickly turn this music down. Very important. Breaking news. Specifically from Adam Johns here. Everyone get ready for this.
I guess everybody, every fan can take a deep breath. Just getting word over on the old mobile phone that Tanner Gentry has cleared waivers. He is going to be re-signed to the Bears practice squad.
All right.
You were...
Yeah. Everybody calm down.
You were fired up about him today, though.
No, I thought I asked a very fair question.
Like, Dal, why'd you cut Tanner?
Yeah, Dal, why did you cut Tanner? No. Because Dal obviously didn't want to lose Tanner. All right, here's what happened, and then we'll get into everything we normally do. The Eagles tried to sign DeAndre Houston Carson off the Bears practice squad. When that happens, the team that owns the rights to that player on their practice squad can prevent that signing from occurring by promoting them to their own 53.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, they had to waive somebody. And they waived Tanner Gentry. Okay? That exposed him to waivers. Then there's a chance they could have lost him. Obviously, I think they felt pretty good. They put him through waivers once, and he didn't get claimed. So my questioning to Dal Loggins was, all right, this pops up yesterday. Do we want to lose DeAndre Houston Carson? And if we weren't going to promote him to the 53, who are we going to cut? Well, usually you get your coordinator's input.
Yep.
So
sure they did.
So obviously DeAndre Houston Carson's not playing safety for you anytime soon. Right, so it's not a defensive move. It's a special teams move. So, Jeff Rogers, how important is, you know, DHC, run DHC to your special teams unit? Okay, Dal, how did Tanner play? How can we get him involved in the, you know, these kinds of conversations? So I just wanted to know, get Dal's perspective on that.
And basically he stiff-armed you?
Yeah, he said...
Shoved you to the ground and said, damn it, Adam, go ask Foxy.
Yeah. And then Fox said...
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
Sometimes I ask the coordinators questions because I know that guy's not going to say anything to begin with. And then, so when they come back and say, oh, you go to a state coach, well... Sorry, Dal, that's not what you sound like.
I think the only reason why people were up in arms is you need receivers.
You need somebody who can make a play. Mm-hmm. And we saw this guy make plays for you. I don't think this is like a Dane Sonsenbacher, Daniel Braverman situation.
No.
This guy is bigger. He's actually an outside receiver. He's not a slot guy. And he's made plays for you. So I think what the fans are kind of struggling with here is you Hubarkish tweeted something like, I don't have it right in front of me right now, but he tweeted this yesterday like, What kind of message are you sending when Josh Bellamy can drop every pass in the world but keeps his job, and then Tanner has one drop but also makes two catches and has had a whole preseason of good plays, and he gets kicked out the door because you don't want to lose DeAndre Houston Carson?
And two very contested catches, I would say, against starting cornerbacks.
Yeah. Now, the drop was bad. You know,
Kendall Wright had two bad drops. Josh Bellamy had a bad drop.
Yes. There were six of them in the game.
And you know what? Five of them were in the fourth quarter. I don't really give a hoot about those drops.
Yeah, that's not why they were down 26-0.
Yeah. I don't care about those drops. And I don't even like how it's part of the conversation. They're like using it to talk up Mike Glennon. Receivers got to catch passes better. You were down 29-0. You're dropping passes. Who cares?
Yeah. That's
Stay healthy. Get off the field.
Yeah, they use that as like an excuse for Mike Glennon, and it had nothing to do with why they're losing.
Now, week one, okay. Week two, no.
Right. All right. At Adam Hogue, Hogue, at Adam Johns, Jahns, WGNRadio.com/Bears is where you can read me. Chicago Sun-Times is where you can read Johnsy. And if you picked up the Sun-Times today, you could read both of us, our podcast in print, week two of that. And we got into a heated debate about the quarterbacks.
We did.
I felt like as we were engaging in this exercise, you were getting mad at me almost.
Really?
You're like annoyed.
Well, you think they're like losing on purpose.
That's not what I was saying.
Yes, you did.
No, I do not think the Bears are going into Sunday's game saying, ooh, we're going to lose this game on purpose because Mike Lennon's starting.
You basically almost said
what
that.
I'm saying is they're not giving themselves a chance to win.
A better chance to win.
In my opinion, they are conceding this game. That's not what they think they're doing. But in my opinion, that's what I think they're
okay.
doing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
You can search for the podcast Hogan Johns on iTunes. Subscribe there. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. If you filled out a survey a few weeks ago, just take that, put it in the review, and give it an old rating. We appreciate it. All right. Our voicemail line, 312-222-5050. Boy, those were coming in hot during the game. I get the email notifications, and it was like, we're not even at halftime. And I look at my phone, and it's like, you have 20 new emails.
There was nothing left. You didn't even have to watch the second half. They had enough to digest at that point. I'm looking forward to hearing the compilation.
Our producer is Joe Romano. He handles your voicemails, and they were flying in. So, Joe, let's go ahead and hear how the listeners reacted to what transpired Sunday in Tampa.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
This is JD from Illinois. I don't want to say where I'm actually from because I'm at work and I shouldn't be watching the game, but Bears are down 26-0 halftime. All I can say is shame. Shame. Shame.
Swan from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. This game is horrid. Lennon, bench him, and put Mitch in.
I'm Bears fan Dan on Twitter from West Virginia. I'm a combination of crestfallen and bewildered by just a plethora of injuries and just the turnovers. I have to say Trubisky really does have to play, but all this together is going to get John Fox fired before the season's even over.
Mike in Evergreen Park calling after Glennon's third turnover in the first half, on pace for about 15 turnovers this game. This guy sucks. He's got the pocket presence of a mannequin at Old Navy and refuses to throw the ball more than 7 yards downfield. Get him out of here.
Hey now, Chauncey, Columbus, Ohio. Bears are back, baby. Bears are back. Three turnovers in less than 20 minutes. They're back.
Noel from Los Angeles. Ryan Pace did a garbage job getting any kind of play mix. I mean, I get it, Tariq Cohen, and then Cam Meredith gets hurt. But let's be honest, the wide receivers are garbage. There is nothing to do on the outside. Makes the team very one-dimensional. And in response to Adam Johns' bold prediction to Jordan Howard becoming the number one back, in the words of Mike Lennon, nope.
Josh from Des Moines, Iowa, and hashtag bench the hashtag play Trubisky.
Aaron from Glendale, Arizona. My level of frustration is coming from Glennon and just watching him play. He just does not look comfortable in the pocket whatsoever.
Andrew from Pittsburgh. I just want to say Bobby Massey is an absolute liability. I don't know why people don't talk about how much of a waste his contract is, because he routinely gets beat every single play, and I feel like he really hurts Mike Glennon and limits what he can do.
Ryan from Dyer. I really hate to be saying this because I'm such a huge fan, but I think I'm going to have to stop following the Bears this season. I just can't watch them lose anymore. It probably won't be good for my health.
This is Alex from Southern California. Mom always said, never trust anybody with an overly long neck. Time to get rid of him and time to get rid of Fox.
Nearly 17 years ago to the date, another great number 8 walked onto Raymond James Stadium and stunk up the field. His name, Cade McNown. Here's a question for all your loyal listeners. Glennon, McNown, or death?
Ben calling in from Colorado here. I'm going to keep this short because I'm sure everyone else is already calling in.
Put Trubisky in.
Michael Jackson. I'm calling from the grave, and all I have to say is why, Glennon, be kind to her? Why, don't be good, Mitchin?
John from Seattle here. Obviously not thrilled with the way that Glennon looked out there, but what's more concerning to me is the lack of O-line depth. All these injuries, and whoever we put under center is going to get pulverized. Kind of makes me think it's a good idea to keep Mitch out until things get stabilized there.
Mike from Maryland. Even if Trubisky's not ready in your eyes, what could he do that's worse than what we just all witnessed? It's time to put the kid in. Glennon's nothing special. Taking lumps didn't hurt Wentz, Mariota, Carr, or Winston. What makes us think it's going to hurt Mitch?
Matt Powell, calling from North Carolina, New Jersey born. Bear fan for life, but man, 9-25 now under Fox. Another blowout loss. And to make it even worse, it was my birthday yesterday. That was one heck of a birthday present. Thanks a lot, John Fox. When does it get better?
Zach from San Antonio. Everyone's going to be talking about Glennon, Trubisky, and I'm with them. Trubisky needs to start. But I'd like to talk about another name, Jason George, the strength and conditioning coach. 2015, we were 28th in adjusted games lost. 2016, we were dead last with 155 adjusted games lost. And this year, it looks to be going that exact direction. Regardless of what happens with Pace and Fox, this offseason, we need to take a look at what he's doing and if he needs to be around next year.
Patrick calling from Satellite Beach. Just got done cleaning up after the hurricane, and somehow Mike Glennon was still the worst thing that happened to me this weekend. Thanks. Otherwise, I'm going to say, Adam, you're amazing. Love you. The other guy sucks. You know you are. Don't worry about it. Adam, you're great. Other guy sucks. All right, thanks, Adam. You know who you are.
Am I the other guy?
I don't know.
Another family member calling in?
I don't know. I don't know what happened there. But, wow. The pocket presence of an Old Navy mannequin.
That was good.
That was great.
That was good.
A couple of them were a little mean.
I like the swear words.
The giraffe neck was pretty mean.
What was that, Joe?
The giraffe neck. That one was pretty mean.
Yeah. You know, all of a sudden, a lot of fans have been asking questions about the strength and conditioning staff lately and the trainers.
My problem with that is they're not all suffering the same ailments.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you do to prevent a couple torn pecs.
Well, those are extremely coincidental. Torn ACL.
Or a broken scapula.
Broken scapula. Rolled ankle for Prince Amukamara.
There have
broken
been
pinky
yeah, there
for
have
Marcus
been
Wheaton.
Less of like the strained calves and hamstrings, and that's it's not like that's been a theme this year like it has been the last couple.
Football is still football. Guys are going to get hurt. I mean, when a guy gets rolled up like Kyle Long and everything literally tears in his ankle, what do you do?
You know, my theory this week that I've said a couple times is, you know, sometimes when you're just good, you suffer less injuries because you're bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah. Some,
when you're not as good, like the Bears are as a team, it's not really a surprise you're going to have more injuries. Now, there are certainly exceptions, like how Kyle Long got rolled up on last year from behind. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. Compton, that same thing happened to Compton this week, Tom Compton.
Right.
And he landed on his hip awkwardly. Now, he's a hip injury. So, I don't know. It's a lot of injuries. Anyway, voicemails are outstanding again. 312-222-5050 going forward. That's the phone number. I didn't even need to push it out this week.
That's good.
That's a great thing.
People have it saved in the phone.
And I think people are getting the hang of what we're looking for. Very creative. Good stuff this week.
Michael Jackson called from
that was
from beyond the grave.
That was another weird one. I don't know what was happening. What song was he singing?
I don't know.
It's kind of hard to tell. Anyway. All right. What was our picks last week? I had, we'll just review these real quick before we move ahead.
I should pick the Bears.
I thought about suspending you for a week from the podcast for picking the Bears.
Why is that like such an outrageous pick? You had a team.
Did you see the game?
Yeah. Okay. Did I think Mike Glennon was going to have a 3 turnover game after being pretty ball secure in his first one? No.
We did agree that he was going to throw an interception.
Tariq Cohen, that's not even a muff punt. That's just a stupid decision.
Yeah. I don't know how anyone could have predicted
you that. You had a team that prepared for you in 3 days. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston was not good. He could have been better. He was clearly rusty.
He was not good. We talked about that a little bit on Sunday.
Like, people are like, how could you pick him? Unbelievable. He had a team who literally was all over the globe because of a hurricane.
Well, what? Like, they fly to Australia?
Okay, not all of them. Okay. But they went their different ways.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. I thought it would be close. I picked the Bears to cover. Yeah. Wasn't even close.
Everybody thought it would be close.
Yeah, I did. Well, we talked about that Sunday. No one thought that these games were going to happen this year. I don't know. They could start 0-7. Maybe that would have happened anyway. But at least we thought that all seven of those games would be competitive.
I mean, an 0-4 start is looking like in all likelihood right now.
And then it doesn't get much easier. You know, like, I know I said that I predicted the Bears would beat the Vikings twice this year. Obviously, that doesn't look as good at this point. Older. However, I still...
What's going on with Sam Bradford?
Part of getting ready for this weekend against the Steelers, I watched that game, the Steelers-Vikings game from the other day. Got some things coming up later in the episode I'll talk about with the Steelers. But from the Vikings standpoint, that line is not good. It's still a problem. I still think the Bears can get after that offensive line. It's a good matchup for the Bears.
Yeah.
Their defense is good, though. That's a problem. But they'll have a chance in that game. All right. And our bold predictions. What was exactly your bold?
Howard, yeah.
Your voicemail has called you out.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
You said he'd go over 100? Or what'd you say?
I'd redeem himself as the number one back.
He had him at over 125 with a touchdown.
Oh, that's right. It was a very specific. It was, okay, yeah.
Oh, I got very specific.
Yeah, run through it.
Over 125 with a touchdown.
Wait, hang on. 125?
No.
Okay. A touchdown?
A touchdown.
No.
Okay.
Four catches.
No.
40 yards.
Four catches? The guy can't catch.
No.
Did you see that pass that Mike... Are we calling that pass that Mike Glennon threw to him in week two against Tampa Bay?
It was a drop.
That was not a drop.
I put it down as a bad pass and a drop.
Wait, for Jordan Howard?
Yeah, it was like...
Oh, that was the last thing that John's predicted. No drops.
That was like a foot...
No.
How bad that pass was.
Drop
that might
drop,
be the
man.
Worst bold prediction we've ever had. Yeah. You got five things wrong in one prediction.
You know how bad that pass was? I still don't get why everybody's writing off the kid.
I'm not writing him off. He needs to improve his pass catching tremendously. And Tariq Cohen, holy crap. Well, going back and watching the tape, his hands are like glue.
Yeah.
He catches everything. Mm-hmm. There was one that Glennon rifled right in his face, and he somehow put his hands up and caught
it. He had a drop, though, over the middle.
He did have one drop.
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Not like...
Too many
So glue-like there, huh? Yeah. Just saying. To me, they got owned up front. Completely destroyed up front. If you watch the film.
Yeah. My bold prediction was that Kwiatkowski would lead the team in tackles and force a fumble, which maybe would happen, but he got hurt.
He was on a good start. Four tackles in the first drive.
I don't know if you saw what I tweeted last night. I think he tried to play through his torn pec, too. Well, I guess we technically don't know. Is it torn?
I don't think they know. There's definitely a tear.
Sounds like they're trying to figure out how badly it's torn.
I don't think it's as bad as Freeman's.
Okay. But he, because if you watch the second series, he's running around. I had my wife look at this on the tape last night. Sometimes you got to bring him back up because she's an OT. I said, does it look like he's favoring his arm here? And she's like, oh, yeah. Because his right arm, he's just running around and it's like flopping behind. All right, let's move on to our kind of news of the week. I want to touch on something. We'll get into Kyle Long. I had a chance to talk to Kyle Long today. He was really good, kind of opening up a little bit about what happened in training camp with his ankle, and he should be back this week. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I thought that Dow Loggins today indirectly made the argument for why Mitch Trubisky should be playing.
I agree.
Did you pick up on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was asked about the running game. He was not asked about Mike Glennon. This had nothing. The question was not brought up in Mike Glennon's context. But he was asked about why the running game is struggling. And then he was asked a follow-up. And I'm going to play these for you, these two answers back-to-back. I think, really, if I could make the argument that Mitch Trubisky should be playing, Dow Loggins made it today.
You know, the thing is, and I wish it was a better answer, but the fact is it was one play, one guy in each play. and it wasn't one guy playing poor. We're going to face overpopulated boxes. Like, we know that. There's going to be 7 and 8 guys in the box every time, and we have to execute better. And that's what it comes down to that. We didn't get Jordan to the second level. We lost on first down a lot. And there was a lot of second 7 pluses. I think we had 1 second 1. We were able to run the ball. And we stayed balanced for the most part in the first half. I think we had 16. I think Mike was 13 of 16. We had 15 rushes. So we were playing the game we needed to play. And you know what? If it's close and we don't turn the football over, you'd love to think, being optimistic, that you end the game and Jordan eventually pops one and we end the game with 22 carries and it's for 80 yards and it's a little bit better than what it was. But, you know, unfortunately, we turned the ball over and the game got lopsided and we had to throw it.
Well, why are you convinced you're going to see overpopulated boxes and continue to see that?
Just because we're a run first team and we're trying to stay committed to the run, and you know, obviously with that you have to have success. You have to have success on first down. You have to keep yourself in second manageable, or all that falls on Mike Glennon to make plays on second long. You can't have penalties where it's second 16, it's second 17, and now you got to throw it 2 more times to try to dig yourself out of a hole, and getting you know, it messes up third down because now you're, instead of being 3rd and 4, you're in 3rd and 7. And now it all comes down to him, and it comes down to a group of wideouts that hadn't played a lot, you know, and you're missing your 2 starters. So now the stress becomes on Mike Glennon and pass protection. You know, they can rush you differently because they know exactly where the spot's going to be, and they're attacking that way. So you don't get to play the game on your terms.
Translation: defenses are not scared about the quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're loading up the boxes. They're shutting down the Bears' running game, and they don't have the quarterback that can get them out of that. Dow Loggins just laid it all out there for you. It's not too complicated. It's football 101 schematically. And they're loading up the boxes, and they're putting the reason why a linebacker can jump right in front of a short pass to Deion Sims. Because it's all about where your eyes are. And if it's predictable, shit like that's going to happen. All right? It's just too easy for defenses. And to me, that right there, from a schematic standpoint, we can get into all these other conversations about Trubisky being ready or whatever, but that right there is why the Bears offense needs Mitch Trubisky, because they can't open it up right now. They cannot. Defenses are not worried about the quarterback at all.
He's very limited in what he can do. You know, there is some tape on Glennon going deep in his rookie season for the Buccaneers. You know, I almost wonder if they can just spread it out and just... Remember, he called him a rhythm thrower last week. Dow Loggins described him as a rhythm thrower. You know, maybe some quick slants, you know, some route combinations on the outside, some pick throws to establish some of that. But, you know, it's clear what the Bucs did. It's clear what the Falcons did in the second half. Teams are going to dare Mike Glennon to beat them. You think the Steelers are not going to do the same? They're completely going to load the box. They're completely going to come after the guy.
And they have a great run defense. Yeah.
You know what the Bucs did, too? They got him in those 3rd and 7s, those 3rd and 6, and they blitzed on 3rd down.
Yeah.
Sometimes they didn't strike home. Sometimes it was just a design pressure where different guys were coming. But they're going to come after him because he can't move in the pocket. There's no pocket presence. Or he struggles to be aware in the pocket.
But part of it is just he can't help it. It's... Even when he is aware, he can't move. He can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything he does tends to be slow. If you're going to be an immobile quarterback, I mean, by the end of his career, Peyton Manning couldn't move. Guy had, like, how many neck surgeries? 4?
Right.
But he was a quick decision maker.
And he knew everything that was happening in front of him. Well, he might be the smartest quarterback to
ever play. Right, so if... Mike Glennon is a win-before-the-snap quarterback. He has to know everything. He clearly does not. He does not go through his progressions fast. And I think that's damning, very damning for any quarterback. When you stare down Kendall Wright, or you make the predetermined, or you stare down Josh Bellamy and don't hit the underneath route to Kendall Wright. That was his pick 6. When you make that predetermined decision to go to Deion Sims and not let the play out. It's damning. I mean, he stares down his receivers, and he has really since the preseason.
And the difference there is Peyton Manning would do that. He would know right before the snap exactly where he's throwing. Tom Brady does it right now. Aaron Rodgers does it, but they're never wrong because they're reading the defenses correctly. You do it right to a linebacker. Do it right to the linebacker on that play. But part of that is, I'm talking about with the linebacker's eyes, it's not like he was that far off the line of scrimmage. Might have even been looking for the run for all we know, and then the ball was right there because it was thrown right to him.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it wasn't even an accurate pass.
No.
I mean, it was to Quan Alexander. It was not. It was behind Deion Sims.
Yeah. We went after it a little bit more in terms of when you should play Trubisky in our podcast in print, which you can find on ChicagoSunTimes.com or in Wednesday's copy of the Chicago Sun-Times. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about that. We'll leave that for there right now.
Week five.
We'll get it. By the way, speaking of week five, and I did make this point in there, the Vikings defense is better than the Packers defense.
Still, give the kid more time to prepare for them.
I don't know. Let me give you this hypothetical. Okay. If Glennon throws two interceptions in the first quarter, they make a change in the middle of the game, depending on the score?
Oh God, there could be a riot at Soldier Field.
Like, what if it's 10-0 and he has two turnovers? Anytime in the
It's only 10-0?
Let's say it's 10-0 anytime in the first half, even. Or going into halftime. Maybe it's halftime. It's 10-0 Steelers, and you're still in the game. But he's turned the ball over twice.
I know where you're going with this. You think Mr. Trubisky gives you a better chance in the second half to win?
The only chance. Because if that's the scenario where you still have 0 points, it's because they have completely shut down your running game, and the quarterback, when he's for everything Dow Loggins just said, that he just played for you.
So you say go for the victory. I just can't see John Fox doing it.
Think about what you just said. You're saying go for the victory. I can't see John Fox doing that. Like, that's what we're talking about here. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This team, and this is what I'm addressing in my 10 Bears things, which, depending on when you're listening to this, is out right now, okay? Because it's coming out shortly after this podcast comes out. This whole organization right now is too safe. Too safe. They're playing not to lose.
I don't mind the
safe.
And
that's all they're doing.
I don't mind the safe decision with the franchise quarterback, though.
But how long are you going to be safe for?
You're not going to be safe forever. You're eventually going to throw them to the wolves with whoever you got at receiver and whoever you got on the offensive line. The situation is never going to be ideal.
It's never going to be ideal. That's the thing. I mean,
but you're still going to try to make it as ideal as you possibly can.
Yeah, like you just said this a few minutes ago. Like, you got to take a shot downfield at some point. But they're too afraid.
No, he's too afraid. The actual shots are there.
You think they are?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'll have to go back and watch the tape closer.
Yes. Yes.
I'd love to see a shot where a guy's open downfield.
Okay. Okay. Open in the NFL, you could throw a guy open behind his shoulder.
That's where the wide receiver situation really comes into play. Like, they don't have guys who can get wide open.
Right.
Or
actually, Josh Bellamy gets open quite a bit, but he's very unreliable with his hands.
You got to trust your receivers. Yep. You gotta make the tough catches sometimes when you're not all that open.
You don't have four guys running 7-yard routes all the time. You have guys actually going down the field. Sometimes Mike Glennon just has to man up and throw the ball.
I just don't know how much longer. I mean, what Dow just said in there was basically, we're playing to keep the game close. Which I know that's what they're doing.
Well, that's John Fox's influence, by the way.
I know it is. But how, it's just, part of it's because you don't have the talent and it's your only chance. But at some point, you got to take a shot. You can't just keep punting on 4th-and-2 at midfield. You can't just always throw the ball 7 yards at a time. Especially when they're creeping up and they're overloading these boxes, as Dow Loggins put it.
That's not going to change.
Overloaded boxes.
Overpopulated.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, overpopulated boxes. All right.
You want to talk about the Bears' offensive line?
Yeah, let's talk about Kyle Long here for a second. Expected to be back.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't play.
Oh, yeah, he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Marcus Wheaton.
Yep.
What about Prince?
Playing.
Yeah, I think they're all back this week. How many times did John Fox tell us that Kyle Long did not suffer a setback?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, here's Kyle Long today talking about basically what happened in training camp and how hard it was to be patient, which was something he struggled with.
That's been the really difficult part, just because, you know, I went down to, it was just bone really on my right, like calf and ankle and stuff. You could see all the bones and it was just sunken in. So trying to develop that strength back and get my balance. They've done a really great job here. JG's done a really good job getting me ready to roll. Have there been any setbacks? Yeah, I mean, I thought I was going to be ready to go during training camp. And I tried to do some stuff, and I think I went a little fast. So back to the patience. It's like, you know, when you have your two pilots at the front of your plane and they're going through all the checklists pre-flight, the last thing you want to do is have a guy who just gets in and turns the engine on and says, let's go. You want to make sure everything's checked off before you head down the runway.
You think you would have played week one if you didn't have those setbacks?
I couldn't tell you that. I don't know. And it's not something I'm going to dwell on. We're here. It's week three. We're 0-2. I need to get back out there.
And you said there were things you did that you shouldn't have been doing at the time, like running or what were some?
Yeah, just trying to push it. Yeah. Thinking that my pain tolerance would be able to trump the issue at hand, and it really didn't. So
it didn't. That was a yes to where's their setback. He was pushing it too hard in training camp, and you know I remember there's a moment, the beginning of what he had to say there with his calf.
Muscle atrophy.
Yeah. There was a moment in Bourbonnais where this was early in camp when he really wasn't doing a whole lot, but he was out there. He was standing on the sideline in front of me, and I remember looking at his legs, and his right calf was noticeably smaller than his left. And, I mean, it's one thing if it's a little bit, but it was, like, really noticeably smaller. And I'm thinking to myself, man, he just... That doesn't look like a guy who's ready. So
it was like Kevin White, though, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When he had the what do you call it?
The broken leg?
Not the broken. I'm looking for the exact term. The stress fracture.
Yeah.
And you looked at his left leg.
The shin splints.
Yeah. The shin splints became a stress fracture, which became surgery, which came
out for 3 years.
And noticeably different. And then you saw what he went through. So, yeah, the muscle atrophy and the balance, finding regaining that balance is a major issue I would expect for an athlete like Kyle Long.
So he admitted he pushed himself too hard in training camp, suffered a setback.
Plural.
Yeah. Which maybe that explains what happened that day in Bourbonnais when he went after
just a had enough of his whole situation.
He admitted he was frustrated that he couldn't do what he was trying to do. So
they conveniently required some treatment the day after that, and then he missed the prospect high school practice.
Yeah. So here's a question. He'll be back this week.
Mm-hmm.
What position does he play? Because Josh Sitton got hurt.
Yeah.
This week, and we don't really know his status at this point. And he was playing right guard, and
this is what I would do.
Okay.
If Sitton can't play, you put Kyle Long at right guard.
Which was his old position.
Yes. He has never played left guard.
Yeah.
If your right guard can't play, put your poor bull right guard back at right guard. Makes complete sense.
Yeah. Now, I would say he's been practicing at left guard all this time, so why would you move him to right? But he really hasn't been practicing.
Yeah, all that time is like, you know, 10 like, snaps. Yeah. You know?
So, right. I think I'm with you. The question is, how much is that left shoulder an issue?
Again,
I don't know.
If it was a major issue, he would be braced up.
Yeah, I know, but don't... I mean, that had something to do with why they were moving him to left guard.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Obviously,
well, they don't want to make it any worse, but it wasn't very plain. My understanding is that they found the injury looking at another injury.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because Cody Whitehair's experience, albeit limited, is more left guard. That's where he was practicing all last year before they moved him to center right before week one. That's where when they made the move Sunday, when Compton went out.
Right. So if Compton's hip injury keeps him out against the Steelers and Sitton's ribs injuries keeps him out against the Steelers, I would go Leno, Whitehair, Grissou, Long, Massey.
Be interesting.
It makes the most sense, does it not?
Yeah, it probably does. I thought, actually, by the way, Hronskirsu played pretty decent when he got in there.
Mm-hmm.
And White
it was a long day for that front, though.
And Whitehair had a good game, played three different positions.
Yeah.
Had a good game. Well, the tackles weren't very good. Bobby Massey struggled.
Their linebacker speed was giving them fits all day at the second level. I thought they clearly missed an athlete like Long in this regard, and all the mixing and matching. Look, it was a losing cause, and if you're not going to be able to throw the ball more than 7 yards, they were doomed.
All right, we better get to our picks. But first, what does the Fox say?
You know, in this league, you're always two games away from disaster. You know, whether you're 2-0 or 0-2, you know, or 8-2. What the Fox say?
He would love to be 8-2.
You're always two games away from disaster. What about when you're 9-25?
What about 4-19 and beating the Packers in Thanksgiving?
Whew.
That was it. That's his crowning achievement as Bears coach.
Yeah, no question.
Beating the Packers at Thanksgiving. Since then, they have four wins.
That was almost two calendar years ago.
Four. Almost 20 losses, 19 losses.
Yikes.
Who are you picking?
Yeah. All right. Bears, Steelers. Sunday at Soldier Field, noon on CBS. The Steelers, a 7-point favorite. We're going to get used to this. Third week in a row.
Mm-hmm.
A touchdown and an extra point. Underdog for the Chicago Bears. Second time at home. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks in a row, you're a touchdown dog. Two of those games have been home.
What do you think the Packers line is going to be?
Ugh.
10.5?
Depending on how this weekend plays out, yeah. It's possible. All right, big question. The only way the Bears are in this game is if their defense keeps them in this game. And the one thing that just jumped off the film to me watching the Steelers game against the Vikings on Sunday. They don't miss Marcus Wheaton at all. They got Antonio Brown. They got Martavis Bryant. And they got Juju Smith-Schuster from USC, who's 20 years. He's the youngest rookie to catch a touchdown pass since like 1964 or something like that. And he's 20 years old. He's already, seems fine. Bryant was making more plays than Brown. The Vikings actually had Antonio Brown kind of bottled up a little bit, and Martavis Bryant was just going deep. It was like watching flag football. Just go deep. I'll throw it to you. And Roethlisberger was just dropping bombs. This is going to be a big test. That's against a good defense, too. The Vikings have a good defense.
Steelers.
The Vikings do.
Okay.
Yeah. Roethlisberger was doing this against the Vikings. I mean, it's not like their defense is worse than the Bears. So I don't know how. The only way this is close is if the secondary prevents that kind of stuff from happening. And I think
everybody's in for a long day on Sunday.
You're not picking the Bears?
I'm not picking the Bears. I am not. I won't pick them again until they win.
Oh,
so this could
you're
be,
doing my strategy?
It could be like never.
Never
until Trubisky plays, but it's hard to have. Look, we were like the only ones critical of Mike Glennon's Week 1 performance.
Yeah,
people thought they were a good team, and I was convinced, but I was very skeptical of Mike Glennon.
And there was a point in that week where I thought we were being too hard on him.
Yes, I felt bad, and then he self-imploded, and I felt righteous.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't see this is not going to be close. I think the Bears would be lucky if they score 10 points.
Wow. Okay.
And what are they averaging, 12?
Yeah. All right, we'll get to our scores in a second, but first.
Bold predictions.
Bears will be held under 50 rushing yards.
Why is that bold?
that's real sad. It sounds like
Jordan Howard getting, 7 yards and 9 carries?
50? You should be able to manage 50 rushing yards.
You can manage 50 rushing yards if your quarterback can scramble once in a while.
I mean, maybe that's not bold for the Bears, but it should be. It should be bold. You had a running back that ran for, was it 1,400 yards last year?
Yeah. He's second leading rusher. And I still have confidence in a Jordan Howard. I just have more confidence in the Steelers' ability to put every single guy they have in an overpopulated box to force Mike Glennon to beat them downfield.
Steelers have been averaging, giving up 74 rushing yards for the first two games. It's eighth in the league. Small sample size, but they have a good rush defense.
Yep.
I don't know. I still think you should be able to get 50. I'm going to say they don't. That's my bold prediction.
Here's my bold prediction. No drops for the Bears. That's bold.
Probably not.
I just don't want them to have it as an excuse anymore.
Yeah.
It's a very flawed excuse looking at game two.
Catch the ball. I think they do have a drop. At least one.
You would think.
Didn't they have 11 against the Titans last year?
Drops are so debatable, though. That Jordan Howard over the middle, that was not a drop.
I guarantee you over 50% of our listeners agree with me.
Over 51.
All right. As for a score, 24-10.
I was going to say 27-10.
Okay.
The improvising skills. Well, Big Ben's no longer the athlete that he once was. You know, the guy would shake off defenders and make throws down the field. I still think he's something. Long day. It's going to be a long day. Don't go, Bears fans. It'll be bad.
Don't go?
They're going to go.
There's still tickets available. You go to ChicagoBears.com, and the first thing that pops up is an ad for tickets.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be a lot of Steelers fans there.
John Fox was talking today about how the Rooneys used to tell him that they had to give away the tickets. And I'm like, well, you might have to give away some tickets this weekend.
Morale is not high amongst the faithful.
It's going to be a lot of blame.
The only way it's going to change is, like you said, if they get that jolt by number 10. Nobody has faith in number 8 amongst the faithful.
Yeah. It's true. All right, let's get to the rest of our picks. Joe, Bears pick. Go for it.
I will go with the Steelers 28-9. And yes, that means no touchdowns for the beloved.
Three field goals.
So play Connor Barth in fantasy. Got it.
So we all have the Steelers covering, which means the Bears will somehow keep it close.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do keep it close. But it's,
well, they can find a way to prevent big plays.
Is T.J. Watt playing? What's the word on his injury?
I don't know yet. We don't have the injury report as of recording this second. I mean, he's off to a great start, though, until he got hurt the other day.
Yep.
First place from scrimmage last week. He knocked down a pass. All right. Yeah, let's go. Other games from this weekend, Joe.
All righty. On Sunday, noon game on Fox, we have the Minnesota Vikings hosting the Buccaneers, and there is no line on the game, so we are going with a pick 'em.
Yeah, there's no line because Sam Bradford's situation.
Right.
And eventually there will be. Doesn't sound great, though, for his chances of playing.
It sounds something very chronic.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back to my Winston evaluation. He could have been so much better against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly didn't have the rhythm. He had one throw to, like, Deshaun Jackson down the seam. If he puts that on the money, it's a touchdown. I think they only got a field goal out of that drive. But I think he can be better. I think they clearly have some momentum. They have some serious high hopes. Without the line, give me the Bucs.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bucs, too. I'm curious to see what the line ends up being, but I'm not even a big Sam Bradford fan to begin with, as you and I have discussed a lot on this podcast over the last 3 years. I don't think he necessarily... He's better than Case Keenum, no question, but I don't think he's a difference maker against this good Buccaneers team. It is in Minnesota, but this defense is good either way, good enough to shut down Bradford, even if he does play. And if he does, he's probably not going to be 100%. So give me the Bucs.
Yeah, no reason to trust the Vikings without Sam Bradford. like you said, he's not great, but in that Monday night game, he looked fantastic. And maybe it's because he's getting the ball out quicker. I don't know. I just think Vikings don't really have a shot with Case Keenum as the quarterback. So I will go with the Buccaneers as well.
I just don't think the Vikings are that great of a team. I mean, I said this a few weeks ago. I think they're fine. Maybe they have a chance to still back into the playoffs, but I certainly don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I think they're getting too much credit in the offseason. But no, that's why. What's up next?
Next game, we have the Detroit Lions hosting the Falcons. Both teams are 2-0. That is a noon game on Fox on Sunday.
This is a tough one. Lions playing very, very well. Did you have the Lions last week too?
I did. Because the New York Giants again are garbage.
You were the one that's all over the Giants. Well, how did we do last week, Joe? Do you have that in front of you?
I sure do. Last week, Adam Hoge was 6-3, hitting his lock. That Jay Cutler led Dolphins. Adam Johns was 5-4, also had the Dolphins as his lock. And I was the caboose, 4-5, but I did hit my lock, the Lions.
Yeah, we all like the Lions.
I like the Lions here. Did you see some of the highlights of Matthew Stafford in that game last week?
Yeah, I did.
The escapability he has. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we don't see that often when he plays the Bears. Maybe just he has too much time to pass against the Bears, but I was kind of impressed. Maybe it's just the Glennon syndrome, and I'm become a kind of conditioned to watch a guy who doesn't move. To see him do that, I was impressed. I think he's going to have a great year after getting his big contract. Give me the Lions. If they're plus three, give me the points in the Lions.
I'm going to take the Falcons. I think that as much as I like the Lions last week and do, you know, kind of like them as a sneaky team, I said this last week, first half of the season, I'm okay riding with the Lions. Second half of the season, can't trust them, won't trust them. But it's still early. It's still week three. However, the Falcons look great against the Packers. They look great. I just think it's a little, these teams are still on different levels. So give me Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Falcons, too. I really like that offense. You know, they're playing indoors, which is something they're super used to. I just don't see the Lions coming back. I know Matt Stafford's comeback numbers over the last year and a half or so are insane, but I think the Falcons build up an early lead and hold on to it.
I think this is one of those games where the line is closer than maybe it should be because of, as you know, the Giants being as bad as a team as you said they were.
Garbage.
Kind of sets up that way. All right, what's next?
Hot garbage.
3:25 kickoff on CBS. The Packers are hosting the Bengals, and the Packers are laying 8.5.
Here's my lock.
Ooh.
Not going to hit the button for me?
You going to tell me who it is?
Packers.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Okay.
Big.
Big.
The Bengals are finally combusting. Yeah. Andy Dalton is brutal. Marvin Lewis is going to get fired at the end of the year. It's about time.
Yeah, it doesn't look good in Cincinnati right now. Bill Lazor takes over as their OC. Zampezi is...
Look, when you fire your offensive coordinator 2 weeks in,
think there's going to be a boost there? Packer D didn't look that great the other night. Of course, they were playing the Falcons.
You just answered your own question.
I'm going to take the Packers. I don't feel incredibly great about it. 8.5 is a lot when I think Cincinnati still has a good defense. Wide receivers for the Packers are a little banged up. I'm almost tempted to take the Bengals here, but I won't. I think the Packers bounce back just fine. And how come the Packers always play at 3:25?
I don't know.
Isn't that weird? They have, like, no noon games. The Bears always play.
You think, a few extra hours for the Bears to rest.
Yeah.
Their week four matchup.
Just like their Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I think 8.5 is just a touch too high. Bengals get speaking of extra rest, they played on Thursday, so they have a few more days to read all those press clippings about how bad they are. I see them keeping it close. AJ Green maybe goes for a couple touchdowns. And they cover the 8.5, probably lose, though.
I like it. I like your pick more than mine. I'm still picking the Packers, but you have sound logic there, Joe, on why you...
The Bengals are garbage. They're down there with the Giants.
Yeah, but it's the NFL, and those are good reasons. Extra rest, new OC. There's still some decent players. I like it. I like it. All right, what's next?
It's Jay Cutler.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
All right, what's up, Jay?
What up, Jay?
We got the Dolphins visiting the Jets at noon on Sunday. That's a CBS game. AFC East rivals. The Jets, home dogs, getting 6 points.
Kind of an interesting storyline here is, do we forget that the Jets wanted Jay Cutler in for a visit? They wanted to sign him in the offseason. Cutler couldn't make it. He wasn't healthy at the time. They ended up signing his best friend, Josh McCown.
Yeah.
I like the storyline here.
That's why I picked this game. I don't know if I'm fine picking the Dolphins every week just because the Jay Cutler factor. But like, I was debating between this one and the Cowboys Cardinals game. I'm like, nah.
No, let's talk about Jay.
We got to go Cutler McCown here.
Yeah.
It's a big time matchup.
Jay goes 2-0.
Yeah. I agree. And I can't believe I'm doing this, but for 2 weeks in a row.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Lock me up some Jay Cutler. The Jets are awful. It's 6 points. The Dolphins are a decent team. Mm-hmm. We talked about this when Cutler signed with them. Maybe better than any team Jay ever played with here in Chicago.
Yeah, how about that? How about
you know,
that?
Other than the NFC Championship team, you can debate that.
But even that was a flawed offensive team.
Yeah, it was. So I like the Dolphins in this spot. Joe?
You know, the Jets made me a little nervous in my survivor pool last week when they were playing the Raiders, and then the Raiders just opened up and Marshawn Lynch started dancing on the sidelines.
Ended
up being
that?
A laugher.
We should do a whole segment on that.
Yeah, like everyone else.
I just don't think the Jets can hang with anybody right now. Maybe later in the season they start to put some stuff together and my guy Jamal Adams starts intercepting everything that's thrown, but I see Jay Cutler covering the spread for sure.
When,
6 points.
When is Adams guy Christian Hackenberg going to emerge as a starting quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Never.
Love him.
That wasn't the bet. The bet was that he'd be drafted.
You bet on NFL stupidity. I know.
I know. Because I bet on the NFL to be stupid.
Yes.
I bet that one NFL team would be stupid, and they were.
And it was the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah. Once the pick was made, I didn't make any.
All right.
I never said it was going to be great.
In worse shape, Jets or Bears?
Probably the Jets because the Bears at least did draft their quarterback.
Correct. Correct. That's kind of, watch that, because they got the safety that everybody wanted the Bears to draft.
Yeah, I know. And I love Jamal Adams still.
Right. Who changes a franchise faster?
A quarterback.
Yes.
There's no question. All right, last NFL game.
In our nation's capital on Sunday Night Football on NBC, the Raiders head to Washington, D.C. They are getting 3 points against the Redskins.
The Raiders. Good game here. I'm a big fan of this Raiders team. Was a fan of them last year. Just love Derek Carr. And they're getting 3 points here. Give me the Raiders.
Yeah. No, the Redskins are getting... All right, never mind.
No, the Raiders.
Yeah, give me the Raiders and 3 points.
Yeah.
Correct. Derek Carr.
Yeah, I got the Raiders in the Super Bowl. I think getting 3 points is a gift. They win this outright.
How great would it be if the Raiders win the Super Bowl before they go to Vegas?
Oh, and then
Bye, Oakland.
The Derek Carr situation compared to the Mitch Trubisky situation. Mm-hmm. Hot topic lately. Go.
I don't like this comparing to other situations. They're different quarterbacks. I don't see what they have to do with each other at all.
The lack of weapons.
Yeah, I know, in the offensive line. But that, yeah, okay, fine. Then that's example of it being okay to play a quarterback without weapons and without a good offensive line. But that's because Derek Carr's good. And if Mitch Trubisky's good, he'll be just fine. And that's the thing. I think he's good. So I'm going to continue to say play him.
Okay.
If he's bad, he'll be bad, even if he has a great offensive line. And he's
well, he's
going to
be
Hall
bad
Famers.
Even if he's good because he's a rookie. You're going to have some of that.
I mean, that just sounds like a what does the fox say, what you just said.
Not everything Mr. Trubisky is going to do is going to be good.
Yeah, man. Who wants to get tackled? Who wants to get sacked? Not me.
See? He'll be sacked. He'll be tackled.
All right. So we're going Raiders here. A lot of agreement today. All right. I like these college games this weekend. Getting into Big Ten season.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Based on our more national / international listenership than I realized, not sure everybody wants to hear Big Ten picks. But that's what we're doing this week. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, we have a theme with this week in the college picks. All home teams are dogs. So yeah. Our first one here is number 8, Michigan, traveling to West Lafayette to face the Purdue Boilermakers. That's a 3 o'clock kick Saturday on Fox.
All right, Mr. College Football.
Yep.
Are you impressed by Purdue's early success?
Absolutely. And we're going now into week 4, where I don't know how much longer I can doubt them. Because they played Louisville tough week 1. Mm-hmm. They lost, but they play them tough. And I'm like, something's weird about this game. I'm not buying it. Okay, then week 2, Ohio's a good team, a MAC team, but a good MAC team. And Purdue crushed them. And I thought that game would be closer than it was. You just saw what NIU did in Nebraska. I mean, MAC teams will play bad Big Ten teams well.
Yep.
And I think Ohio is better than NIU is. So, okay, I looked at that and I go, okay, Purdue, that was an impressive win. And then they go into Missouri. Missouri's not good, but they're at Mizzou, and they just completely dominated them. So they're home now, and they got number 8 Michigan coming to town. And Joe, you know this. I mean, Michigan doesn't look that great right now.
That offense is on the struggle bus.
I like that.
Right? So this is just they're begging you to take Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they? They're just begging you to take Purdue here.
That's how I feel.
I can't do it.
No?
I can't do it. I think there's something fishy here.
You're a believer in what's his name? Spate?
I'm not a believer in Wilton Spate or what's his name Spate either. I just think this is a weird line. I think Michigan's the better team.
We'll
come back next week. If Purdue plays Michigan tough or somehow wins this one, then I'll go all boiler up. But right now I'm still boiler
down.
Didn't
they have troubles on the road last year in the Big Ten, like going to Iowa? That's where they had their first very disappointing loss of the season, right? The Wolverines?
Yep, that's right.
Why do you got to bring that up for Joe? Nice. Why
he's
you
just digging. Come back he's, to the yeah, he's just digging at me, dude. I got it. It's all good.
No, I'm going Michigan. You're going Purdue?
I'm going Purdue.
Okay.
Yeah, until what's-his-name Spate.
Exactly.
Until he starts throwing the ball better, until they get the red zone stuff figured out. I just can't see them covering a 10-point spread. Purdue's scoring 20 points a game at least. I just see Michigan winning the game, but Purdue keeping it under 10 points.
Yeah, again, I like the logic there. And this is just a fishy line to me. I'm going Michigan just because. I'm going opposite.
Next game, we got number 4 Penn State traveling to Iowa City. Penn State is laying 12.5 on the road. That's a 6:30 p.m. game on Saturday, ABC.
So the difference in this one is that Penn State looks amazing right now. Their offense is outstanding. I love that tight end, Gesicki.
Mm-hmm.
I love that dude. Saquon Barkley is outstanding. I'm still not a Trace McSorley guy, but I love the celebration. Give me that home run celebration every time. That's a great celebration. It's annoying when he's putting up 100 touchdowns on you in the Big Ten championship game, but still cool.
It is cool.
Here's the thing, though. Night game in Iowa, these always go close,
Was the Michigan game last year?
Yeah.
Night game?
Okay. Yeah. This is way too big of a spread for me. Just on the basis of it being in Kinnick Stadium at night. Now, I think Penn State's a much, much better team than Iowa. But I don't think Iowa's terrible. These are the games they always show up and play tight. Even in the series between these two teams, it seems like these games are always close and come down to some wacky field goal at the end. So I'm taking the Hawkeyes here.
What do you think, Joe?
I do agree, obviously. Michigan got bit on the road last year in a night game in Iowa City, but I think Penn State is on this like revenge tour for not being in the playoff after beating Ohio State and being the Big Ten champion. I think they go into Iowa City and just, you know, take care of business, win by at least 12.5, obviously, and keep the train rolling.
I have to say I was admittedly torn on this one, so I wanted to hear both your arguments.
Okay.
I like the revenge tour.
The revenge tour?
Now, Mike Glennon would never lead such a thing because he doesn't believe in revenge games.
No way.
No such thing to him.
No.
No. He did that again today. We might have a good two slightly variations of his
I missed it. I'll have to find it.
Yeah, give me Penn State.
Okay. I like Iowa here. All right, last game.
Our final game is a 7 o'clock game on Fox Saturday. It is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish traveling to East Lansing to face the Michigan State Spartans. Spartans are getting 4 at home.
How many yards did Brandon Wimbush run for? Like 200 and something last week?
Well, like 200 more than he threw for. I know that.
Well, he can't throw, and we know that, but still 200 yards rushing is...
Yeah.
Still 200 yards rushing. I don't think he's going to do that at Michigan State.
Okay.
What do you think?
You go first this time. I'm not making any arguments for you.
Why not?
All right. I think that I still can't trust Notre Dame, even though I did last week. It's one of my picks in our pick'em situation. I felt really good about that against Boston College. It's a much better team, and it's in East Lansing at night. And I love the way that Mark D'Antonio has handled what happened last year, which was a complete failure both on and off the field. And the way he specifically with the off-the-field issues, no tolerance policy, you don't have Michigan State dealing with all these cover-ups that we see everywhere where there's some kind of sexual assault investigation. And
oh, like the school they're playing?
Exactly. I like the way... I'm a big Mark D'Antonio fan, and this whole thing that I got worried last year because I'm like, all of a sudden the program's falling off the map in a season, and now you got these sexual assault allegations. How is he going to handle it? And I thought he handled it very, very well. So I don't think if you look at what Mark D'Antonio has done in all his time in East Lansing, last year was the exception, not the rule. And it was a very small sample size on what the Spartans team is this year. They played Western Michigan close, but took care of business last week. And I think Western Michigan still got enough talent left over from the PJ Fleck era that they've proven to play tough now against USC and Michigan State earlier in the season. 4 points at home, Saturday night game in East Lansing, nationally televised on Fox. I think the Spartans show up. I don't trust Notre Dame. Probably never will. Give me Sparty.
I've become very biased in terms of Notre Dame games. I really do not like the way Brian Kelly runs things. I don't care if he's insulting a reporter for failed questioning. That's one thing. You know what I'm talking about? The viral back and forth.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago.
But there's people dying like on his campus. And there's sexual assault allegations. And this is one of the... Notre Dame and football, they're synonymous. And I get that. I just think his time has run its course there. It's time for a fresh start at Notre Dame. I get that he led them to a national championship with a whatever. I'm very biased in this, so give me Michigan State.
Okay.
I'll be the lone wolf on this one. I think Mark D'Antonio is too focused on his trip to Ann Arbor in a couple weeks, and he's just going to miss Notre Dame here.
You get the Wimbush going crazy. What a name.
Wimbush, Windmill.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. When's the is the Michigan game next week or 2 weeks?
2 weeks, October 7.
They have a bye or something?
No, but it's his Super Bowl. He has to focus on it. It's the only game he cares about.
Okay. I think you both sound biased here.
I'm not even gonna hide the bias.
Hey, neutral guy here. Don't like Notre Dame or Michigan State. Give me Sparty. All righty. Anything else we miss anything here? We've covered it all. I know we got all the games, but anything else with the Bears?
Do you really think Marcus Wheaton's going to be like this all-in-be-all difference maker?
No. I did a radio hit in Pittsburgh this morning, and they're asking me about the Bears wide receivers and Wheaton playing. I'm like, you guys know Wheaton better than I do.
He's a complimentary piece.
The only time I saw him at practice in training camp was when I said hi to him.
Yes. Now, I'm sure the Bears love having a speedy option that could potentially threaten a safety deep and could pull somebody in coverage, but I haven't seen this guy in full action since OTAs.
Yeah.
He was out there for like two snaps and broke his pinky in Bourbonnais after having emergency appendectomy. I don't know what he's going to be. Nice guy. Easy to root for. But until I honestly just think Dal Loggins just has to say the hell with it. Play action bombs. What happens. Just throw it on tape. Get it on tape.
My 10 Bears things today. Read it. WGNradio.com/Bears.
You put that in there?
Yeah. They got to stop being safe. You got to try something. If you're not going to play Trubisky, then you got to try something with Glennon.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get by in the NFL with this. Remember a couple weeks ago I brought up like that Craig Krenzel game in Tennessee from 05, I think it was? You don't have that defense. You don't have Brian Urlacher out there.
I mean, honestly, first play of scrimmage, they're going to load the box, stop Jordan Howard or Tariq Cohen. Just go deep. Play action. Five-step drop, let Glennon air it out.
Just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
Well, just flop it out there, John.
Just flop it out there. Just try it. I don't know.
I mean, Glennon's got tape of completing passes down the field in Tampa. It's there. Also sacked an awful lot, but
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Are we allowed to use it anymore? He's not on the team.
I know. I feel bad. HJQ.
It's all right. It's the DHC era of safeties now.
Harold Jones-Cortez's best contribution to the city was that drop. And his two interceptions in Tampa a few years ago.
Yes, that too. Seems like another world ago, but
right. All righty, we better get out of here. Fun episode. We're going to try our best, guys. Got to have fun with it. If we're going to go through this again, we're just going to keep having fun. Keep those voicemails coming in. 312-222-5050. Great job, Joe. Joe Romano, our producer, putting that together. And great job by our callers. The creativity. We enjoy it. We'll keep that going all season long. So call in before, during, after the game on Sunday. 312-222-5050. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where you can also find the podcast in print on Wednesdays. Our latest one is up there today as we debated when Mitch Trubisky should play. Find the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, WGN Radio app, pretty much anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Search Hogan Johns. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. In the meantime, I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be ugly on Sunday.
It is. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
We'll get through it. All right. Talk to you guys Sunday after the game.
Josh, who's the best meat smoker of your offensive line?
What do you mean by meat smoker?